Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. This is your host, George Muniz Gund. In this episode, I'm going to talk a little more about autistic empathy and why it is so misunderstood. Now, early listeners of this podcast might remember I did do a brief episode on empathy before episode 31, but I've learned a lot since then. And I've learned a lot more. I've learned this. My therapist brought something to my attention that made a lot of sense, and it made me rethink my whole understanding of autistic empathy versus how it's perceived by neurotypicals, because it can differ from neurotypical empathy, and the way we're conditioned in society to feel empathy, or what the so-called right way of feeling empathy is. Anyways, just as a quick refresher on the last episode about empathy I did way back in December of 2022, if I'm not mistaken, I talked in that episode about the difference in between emotional empathy and cognitive empathy. And I spoke of hyper-empathy among autistic people, and I spoke of how for a lot of autistic people, including myself, I'm speaking a lot of this is coming from my experience, I feel really intense empathy towards I feel like if someone is upset, distressed or whatnot, I feel that so intensely. And it sometimes even more intensely than the person, if it's a non-autistic person, for instance, sometimes they're not even aware that they're experiencing a certain feeling, a certain sadness, a certain frustration, a certain resentment, whatever it may be, and all pick up on that. And if I believe studies have shown that autistic people do have more intense experiences with emotional empathy and hyper empathy, and I can certainly relate to that because I feel that not just with people, but I have felt that, and I have heard about other autistic people feeling it with objects as well, like a towel. Like if there's a towel and it's like under a bunch of other towels, and it's like I'm folding towels and I don't, like, something happens and another towel gets in front of that one. Like, I would, not so much anymore, but when I was a kid, I would be in situations where I would be feeling bad for the towel. Or I would, like, you know, I would get, like, really attached to a certain car. And then that I had, you know, and I would, like, I remember just thinking of, like, machines and objects as people, and, like, having feelings, and then, like, feeling bad for them. So, back to my feelings around people, and how I feel most autistics are in general from the support groups I've been a part of and other autistic people I've interacted with over the years, It seems like we're really good at perceiving when someone is feeling something, so much so that the person that is feeling that thing might not even be aware of it in that moment, and they might later come to realize and tell us, oh, I realized that, I noticed I was upset about this or that, and we're like, oh, yeah, you know, we had a feeling, like, so we're really, I feel like, I personally, as an autistic person, have a very heightened sense of emotional empathy now, where the thing is, that is different than cognitive empathy, whereas, like, understanding why the person is upset, and that, this is basically what I talked about in the last episode. Like, I struggle as an autistic person with understanding why the person is upset. And sometimes it's because, sometimes they know why they're upset, but I still can't understand. Sometimes they might not even realize that they're upset. And this is where what my therapist told me about recently comes in, is that it's not just me being hyper aware to them. It can be, but it sometimes it's not just me being hyper aware to them being upset or me being triggered by some kind of previous trauma. Sometimes it's actually because I have such a heightened sensory sensitivity to emotional stuff and feelings, including from other people, that I might pick up on that before them, and then that might put me into sensory overload, and I might shut down. And a lot of autistic people experience this where they shut down. If you have such an amount of sensory or emotional overload, which is sensory related as well, it's all connected, that causes you to shut down and then not say anything or do anything or even move your face sometimes because you're in just kind of a paralysis mode or autistic inertia, as I've heard it referred to before. And I certainly experienced that. And so then the other person, when they're having this intense emotional moment, and you shut down because you're actually like so overwhelmed by it, but they don't see that. And medical professionals, when they go to assess children, they don't see that either. A lot of times children don't get diagnosed, and I've read documents of assessments of that psychologists have psychiatrists have written, saying that they were not that the child cannot be autistic because they displayed empathy. And it's like, no, like, it's, this is a wrong way of viewing it, because the person that, because you're not looking at the internal experience. Because this is my big problem with the medical community not listening to the lived experience of autistic individuals. Because if researchers were to ask autistic individuals, like, what was your experience, like, what is your experience around empathy, it would become clear that we would, you know, they would understand that we experience so much empathy, we actually get overloaded with it, and we shut down, and that's the part that people don't see. So then people only see the shutdown part, and then we get told that we don't have that, and then it gets written and documented that autistic people don't have empathy. And then we have stigmas and stereotypes going wild, and tropes and TV shows and movies that show autistic characters played by neurotypical people, written by neurotypical people, that are like cold robots, because that's what a lot of neurotypical people think autistic people are. And it's really dehumanizing, and it's really frustrating to continue to see this narrative and this trope propagated because of the lack of having our voices heard by the medical community, and that speaking to deeper issues such as systemic ableism, which there's no way to just discuss that in one episode, as regular listeners of this podcast will know, and you know, whoever is familiar with the neurodiversity paradigm and how long we've been fighting this fight. But anyways, this is one of the worst, most frustrating pieces of misinformation that I still come across out there. So I felt like it was necessary to make this episode and clear the air, kind of a refresher to my first episode on autistic empathy as well, but with this new sensory component and the understanding of that embedded in there as well. So without further ado, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you were able to get something out of it, and I'll see you next time.